You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here today to wrap up for the year. We're going into the holidays. We are going to give you a break over the holidays because I don't know about you guys, but when I'm like following a podcast, I start to feel pressure and pressured by the podcast. And like, I feel like it's sometimes I have to like go and call and like get rid of podcasts because I'm like feeling compulsive about it. And like, I have to do it. And it bothers me if I haven't. So anyway, knowing that, you know, you guys have kids with pans who have probably have some compulsions and some obsessions means that you probably have some yourself too, because it doesn't come out of nowhere. So we're going to give you a break without any compulsions to see anything from us for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we hope that you enjoy the holidays, however you celebrate, if you celebrate, and the new year. And we'll be back with you guys in the new year with some more stuff. But today, we wanted to talk a little bit as you're going into the new year and doing the reflecting that people often do around this time of year. We thought we would share with you some life lessons that we have learned from homeopathy, because Jody, we talk about this all the time. Like homeopathy has given both of us so many things about that have changed the way we look at life, or that like, I will, like, when I'm talking to clients, I will be saying something, and I'm like, oh, this also relates to this thing in my life. So yeah, we thought it would be a good opportunity to reflect on what might be good at looking at moving forward at this time of reflection.
Yeah. I feel like there's so like some of the coolest stuff I know is packed into the time when Avery was healing. It's like stuff that I needed to understand before that I didn't understand. And it took going through the suffering of PANS and then the coming out of it with homeopathy to teach me this thing that I completely didn't get before. I wasn't recognizing so many good little nuggets.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
I think for me, probably, I mean, nobody will be surprised to hear some of these things coming from my mouth, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest one for me has been the need to let go and to recognize what I can control and what I can't control. And I learned this both as a user of homeopathy, a patient, and as a practitioner, because on both ends of the spectrum, I have had such desire to control my symptoms or the symptoms of my patients. And invariably, it fails and makes things worse the more I try to control things. And so that's true in homeopathy. And then I take a step back and I recognize that most of my suffering in my life comes when I'm trying to control something that isn't mine to control and that I really can't possibly control. And so I'm suffering because I am failing at something that I am invariably and without any question going to fail in, because I am trying to do something that is not possible to do.
Yeah. I feel like I came about that a little bit different way, and it ended up giving me a slightly different lesson, but the same. Right before I came to homeopathy, I just had this really strong, deep feeling that I had to stop doing all of the things to force Avery's body to heal, because it just kind of like came to my attention that all of these things that I was doing, could I potentially be making her worse? Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had been trying to force her body to heal. And it was such a strong feeling that I needed to do less. And it was so neat because homeopathy allowed me to fully see that that feeling was right in me, and that the doing less and controlling less and like just completely dictating how every aspect of Avery's life, our life, our family's life worked, like letting go of that stuff and doing less controlling was absolutely amazing. And then I also got to learn that, you know, trusting my intuition, that I need to listen to myself.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's really tricky too about control, is that it doesn't always clearly make sense or connect to the thing that we're trying to control, right? So like, I have learned that there are signs that our body will give us about something that not necessarily clearly related to the thing, right? And like, so when I'm trying to control something that's not mine to control, it's not my responsibility, or that I can't possibly control, that's when I start to get more anxiety. My sleep gets messed up and I get more migraines. And I had friends and now a therapist who call my migraines my emergency breaks. That it's when I am trying to do too much. And usually if I'm trying to do too much, it means I'm trying to control something, and trying to control for an outcome. And I think that somehow my suffering is going to make this thing better. That my body says, no. And it forces me to stop. And it makes it so that it's not possible for me to continue to try and control the thing. And it's like, I need this reminder with that like, hey, did you see how you were knocked out for however many hours or however many days, and the world did not come to an end, and all of the things that you were worried about that you were trying to manage, like, they got taken care of and things continued to move forward. And I realize that that's not always possible, that there are some things that sometimes when we are suffering, and that we're trying to control for things, that when you drop it, it's just going to drop, and there's not necessarily always somebody there to pick it up. And I've had those things happen too. And that helped me see, was that thing actually that important in the first place? Was I like, was I trying to keep something twirling in the air that didn't really actually matter in the big picture? And was I taking away from something that does matter in the big picture, trying to keep this little thing that as soon as it cracked, nobody noticed. What's one that you got? So I talked about controlling and letting go. What else do you got?
The one that my husband used to use to irritate me, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Gosh, he used to like say that to me all the time just to frustrate me, because I don't like to slow down. I like to just go, keep going. And he used to tell me, slow down. And it would really, really irritate like my being to be told to slow down. But that is one of the greatest lessons that homeopathy has taught me, is slow is just, it's harder, but it's slowing down Avery's healing and giving her time and allowing her is what got us out of the fire.
And even like, since we just talked about control too, and like the ways that slowing down her healing, you didn't intentionally slow it down. You didn't control slowing it down. You just stopped trying to force things, right? Yeah. Which allowed it to slow down. So like, you did use the word allow, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're giving with homeopathy, we're giving the right nudge, and then we're just sitting back and we're allowing the body to do what it's going to do, and allowing and waiting for the next step. People always, I guess it's a military thing, or I don't know, Army Rangers or something like that. I don't know. I was in the military, and I never heard it said in the military, but I heard it said on the day before my wedding. Was the first time, at least, that it really stuck in my brain that I remember, when my husband, who was never in the military, but who worked in trails and with chainsaws cutting down really big trees, and like dangerous trees, where he had to focus on very, very closely what he was doing so that he didn't get hurt or die or damage something really important, right? And he grabbed me as I was rushing around the day before our wedding and said exactly that. I said, Jen, stop. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. You are not going to get things done the way you're going right now. And And that really stuck with me because it's so true. Like when you just look at anything with health and healing, it's not just pans and pandas, guys. It's anything with health and healing. The things, like the more we try and force things, the more we try and take shortcuts to hack things, hacking works short term. And then the body catches up and it says, wait, 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 wait. I wasn't so sure about this. This isn't the way I'm designed to work. And then it pushes back. And then we have to find the next hack and the next hack and the next hack. And we're just chasing things. Whereas if we would just stick with the slow, boring, tried and true ways of taking care of ourselves and taking care of our bodies, we would get to the place that we want to, probably in most cases, faster than we do as we're seeking shortcuts.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. The next one for me is less is more. This is one of the biggest things. You know, with homeopathy, we're always looking for the minimum effective dose. And I make jokes with my friends who are naturopathic doctors who are not like homeo nerds like I am, that use a lot of different approaches, a lot of different therapies, like lots of different tools from the tool chest that we get as naturopathic doctors. And I tell them that like I make jokes that I'm going to become the like quitting doctor someday, that like because I feel like so much of health has turned into this pursuit of like what's the next thing, what other supplement can I take, what other thing, what can I add, what else can I do, what else can I do, what dietary approach should I take, what additional exercise, what meditation should I do, what sleep thing should I, what things should I, how many things should I wear to monitor my sleep and my activity and my heart and my breathing and my and all the things. I say as I'm wearing an Apple Watch, I'm aware of that, right? How like we keep thinking like what else can we add, what else can we add, what else can we add, and so much of life is how much can I take away, and we find what we really need at the core when we take away everything we can until there's nothing left to take away. And I think I have found that that's true in life in general, in health in general, that oftentimes we need to like continue to remove safely, especially when we're talking about medications or supplements, but we need to remove safely until we get to the minimum where there's nothing else to move, without losing function, right? And like I've read so many things about like designers that that's that some of the best designers give themselves that strategy. It's not what additional feature can we add, it's what can we take away. Authors too, I'm a big reader, that you have to like what can you take away from this story, from this article or whatever, so that you are still getting the point across but not losing anybody in the process. And so I fail, I try and try and try to see in what circumstance is that not true, that less is more. And maybe the one place is your retirement account. That's probably the one place that less is not more. But aside from that, like your bank accounts and retirement accounts, and even that, there's limits to it, right? Like that's there's sometimes more causes more problems and more stuff, right? So,
True, true. I
even
think.
you know, even there, I would say, I wouldn't say necessarily less is more, but like in that case, I'd say like of the appropriate amount is more, right? Not more is more.
I think that mold was my first, like my first step into this less is more thing. And mold taught me going through mold, leaving our home, going into an RV was one of the greatest life lessons I've ever gotten on less is more, because I found myself in this little teeny tiny space with my girls, and I found my girls. Like I found having nothing to do other than hanging out with them, not having a house to clean, not having a bunch of junk to organize, not having to just life was so much easier and great. And I am now constantly trying to achieve more of that style of less, like
More of
less,
less.
yes, less things in my home, less clutter, less da, 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 all those things. But then going into homeopathy, it was like a much deeper lesson in a, for me, a very large unlearning. I think for all of us, an unlearning, because we learn that we give the thing to make it go away. And then we give more of the thing and more of the thing. And homeopathy is backwards. It's less. And so to me, it's wild that as we're moving through homeopathy, the goal is less. The goal is none. Mm-hmm. And that's such a hard shift. But also, you know, like those two things were such a great example of how much better life can be with less. It was, and I'm always, again, always trying to get to less.
Well, what you just said too about that unlearning, that's like a great example of like one of the other things that you and I shared, that it was a life lesson, which was trusting your body and trusting yourself, which you've already mentioned in a couple of different ways. And I know that was a really big one for you.
Yeah. Trusting my intuition, right? That's what we're talking about. Like,
and trusting the body, trusting that the body has what it takes to heal if you aren't doing something to try and force it and control it.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's even bigger lesson. Yeah, that's because also like we don't learn about that. Nobody teaches us about that. And so going into homeopathy and trusting that Avery's body was doing what it needed to do to become better and healthier, even in spots whenever it was hard or difficult or she was aggravating or whatever it was. That was a learning process for me, and it took a very long time. But then once I got there, I was like, heck yeah, like, like, come on, aggravation. You know, we're going to go through tough times. That's okay with me. I'm good, because her body knows what it's doing. And it takes a long time to get to that point, because it's a really large shift. But it's such a good feeling too. And that still is true for today, even working through the stuff that we work through, you know, like the puberty stuff and whatnot, like all we need is a little nudge from homeopathy. And then we set her free and her body does what it needs to do. And it's just easier.
Yeah. It was a really big and hard shift for me, as I've shared, because of the skepticism that I had when I first was introduced to homeopathy. Both the concept of less and more, and then like recognizing that it's just trusting the body instead of like looking at the body as something that is working against us, recognizing that like our body is here, and it's on our team. You know, we are not at war with our bodies, even when it feels like we are, right? And I say this as somebody who has things that feel sometimes like my body is at war with me. It's at war with what I want things to be. But the reality is, when I just stop and listen and I give it what it needs and we work together, and I trust it, and I trust that my body and I are in this together, and that it has the capacity to do really great things, I find a lot more peace. And I find a lot of relief sometimes, even when I'm just setting down my swords against my body. Yeah. And homeopathy, seeing what homeopathy could do with such a small amount of biochemical force, really basically essentially trying to have no biochemical force on the body. It was eye-opening for sure, just to see. And then, you know, I became a meditator after homeopathy. In fact, homeopathy helped me recognize the importance of meditation, just because I needed to be able to recognize, I needed to be able to sit with uncomfortable things that people needed to tell me as part of their experience. And I also needed to be able to recognize what was mine and what was somebody else's. And so homeopathy brought meditation to me, and then seeing, you know, after seeing what homeopathy with its like minimum effective dose could do in the body, and then also seeing what just like literally sitting down to do nothing for 10 minutes could do for my body and my brain too. It's pretty remarkable. And that gives you a whole lot more trust in the body too.
Yeah, definitely. I think the next one is great, coming off of our recent podcast episode with, oh my gosh, her name's slipping my mind. Bridget.
Bridget, yes.
Yes. And she spent a good deal of time towards the end of the podcast talking about don't borrow trouble. And all of us know don't borrow trouble from you. That is like your big thing that you always talk about. And I think it took me a really long time to like get to this place where that made sense. But then the second it made sense in the like homeopathy aspect, it like spread into my whole world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been borrowing trouble for everything for years. Like all my anxiety, all my worry, all my like everything, I'm just borrowing trouble. So tell us about borrowing trouble.
I don't even know where I first heard it, or but it came out of my mouth, and it kept coming out of my mouth, and it became a thing, right? So, with homeopathy, we don't want to borrow trouble, particularly when you have a community like the Pans and Pandas community that is so amazing and so supportive. We can have the risk of choosing to either be lifted up by it or dragged down by it. And this can affect things because just like there's a placebo effect in all treatments everywhere, there's a placebo effect. There's also a nocebo effect. Have you ever heard of the word nocebo?
I don't think so.
Nocebo is like the opposite of placebo. So placebo is when you get the positive benefits when there's nothing there. The nocebo is a effect is when you get the negative benefits or negative results, like the side effects when there's nothing there. So, and I can't tell you how often I have seen people borrow trouble because they're so worried about an aggravation that they see an aggravation that isn't actually happening, and that it can impact getting the progress that they could get otherwise. Right. So I always, at Pan's Moms, I understand, like you've got like your world has fallen apart. You're desperate to get your child back. It happened so quickly. You want this to get fixed quickly, So I get it. And because things can go downhill so fast, you have to prepare for all contingencies. So like going to the store isn't just going to the store anymore, right? Or going to a family holiday, don't even get me started. Good luck to all of you who have family holidays coming up. There's so many people who will think about all of the things that go wrong, and then you're living as if they have already gone wrong. And sometimes seeing things worse than they actually are because they feel bad because you're so worried about them. That's really like the place that it came up most. So it's like people looking for aggravations or like potentially missing positive things, and then just causing a substantial amount of stress about something that might not ever come to pass. And because I have the experience with so many years of homeopathy, I would tell people, don't borrow trouble. We don't know that this is going to be a problem. And if it is a problem, I got your back. We'll get it taken care of. So we don't need to create suffering for ourselves ahead of time, especially if we know we have a solution. There was a mentor of mine back when I was in leadership in the naturopathic profession. I was president of an association. A friend of mine and a mentor said to me to put this on my desktop, and I still have it on a little sticky note on here. And this is basically what you need to remember if you have a tendency to borrow trouble. It was, if you can solve your problem, then what is the need of worrying? If you cannot solve it, then what is the use of worrying? And most of the problems that we're borrowing trouble for with Pans and Pandas, we can solve. Especially if you've got a really great homeopath that like anything that does come up, it's solvable.
Yeah. This is such a hard thing to do as a Pan's mom, though. Like, I think the trauma, like, it takes, well, because I didn't start homeopathy till after Avery got healed. So it took me a long time. But like, getting out of that space where we're just sure that the next thing's coming any minute, or like the thing that we've seen in the past is going to be exactly the same. It's so hard to shift out of that. And because I am always talking about mom healing, that, you know, that this is something that homeopathy can help us as caregivers with, helping ourselves get out of this space, because part of it's a trauma response. And I think that, I would have spent a lot more time trying to get out of this space of borrowing trouble and even being convinced, like after I'd seen Avery completely healed and have infections and lose teeth and full moons and all of the things and nothing had happened, like my brain was still convinced any minute it was coming back. And I was functioning that way. And homeopathy helped get me out of that space, because it is a hard shift for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know that you, as a both a gift to us and a gift to our listeners, you pulled a couple of the PANS moms that are members of our team to ask them if they had thoughts about life lessons from homeopathy. So do you want to share what some of them said?
Yeah, I do, because I know that I have so many, but I also know that they just weren't coming to my brain, and I'm so glad that I asked them. So I'm going to share some of their responses, and interrupt me whenever you want to talk about one, because some of them are so good. Brittany shared with me that, patience in a microwave world, which I was like, wait, what are you talking about? What does that mean?
Want it fast.
Yeah. And she's talking about learning patience with life in a world or society that tells us everything should be instant. And that is such a huge, huge gift from homeopathy. I think that falls into the slower is better thing as well. Another one she shared was turning down outside influences of my family, because I had to tune into our bodies and learn to trust myself again. And I feel like this is a huge gift for moms going through homeopathy, is you get to a place where that noise doesn't matter, because it's about you and your baby and getting your child better. And all of the noise is just distractions. And you learn that it's okay to turn that down and turn up the thing that you need to focus on.
Trusting your body and trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Brittany also shared appreciating seasons of growth, trials, and trusting what's on the other side versus panic and being stuck forever.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it really is, because I think that's a thing that comes along with trusting homeopathy, though. It's like easier to come out of that panic space and trust. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't necessarily connect with personally with having gotten that from homeopathy. So I'm really happy to see that Brittany has. But I do recognize that every time I'm going through a really rough patch for one reason or another, that I think it was Dr. Peterson's on our team that will tell people, this isn't a breakdown, this is a breakthrough. And that it's that there is always something on the other end. And like, basically what I want to do right now is we don't have time for this, but like, we could go back and get a clip from every single one of our guests that came to share their story, or any of our guests that have shared their stories in our Facebook group, where the reality is that the trials and challenges from PANS itself, homeopathy aside, have led to so many more amazing things that would not have been available to them had they not gone through it. So I 100% connect with this. I hadn't really connected it specifically with homeopathy and learning it from homeopathy, but I've definitely learned it through my own healing journey in life. And that even the times when I felt like things were hard, I mean, I guess I could say that like my own difficult times with my homeopathic healing journey have helped me be a better practitioner to help people understand and navigate so that they have the chance to successfully get through to the other side. Cause it's not linear. It's not straightforward. It's not easy. And having somebody who can explain it to you and walk through it the way we try to do, I think does make a difference. Yes. I hope it does.
Yeah. Yes. Chrissy shared with me that, she said, I've learned that I'm stronger and more capable than I've given myself credit for. That's so true. So there is a, I had really, really low confidence in myself before PANS and homeopathy, and especially with me being a ADD kid and like always being hard on myself about my brain function and like not being smart enough to do all of these things, because that's kind of what the world told me growing up, because I had ADHD. And if we can get our kids through this, if we can help our kids now, I had no idea I was capable. And I love, love, love that this is something that so many moms are getting from this, because they all, and even in the, like in the very middle of it, no matter what treatment you're doing, no matter what, where you're at, like you're just, the whole journey is going to teach you about your strength and your ability to persevere and keep pushing on for your kiddo. Yeah. Another one she shared is, I've learned to appreciate the small, often overlooked moments of parenthood that I have deep appreciation for now. Yes, that's everything in life. I feel like we appreciate a little bit more. And then she also shared she's learned patience with herself and her child, and healing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes along with the slow is smooth and smooth is fast, mm-hmm. as like we should have included patience, that yes, homeopathy has helped me learn the value of patience and how healing patience itself can be.
Yeah, definitely. And then Bridget shared, don't sweat the small stuff, which is huge, because we sweat a lot of things, and then really hard, awful PANS comes along and just shows you something different, and homeopathy too, because we don't sweat the small stuff in homeopathy either. She also shared that blessings can be found at any moment if you look for them, 100%. And then her last one is setting healthy boundaries, asking for help when you need, and saying no to obligations when you can't do things doesn't make you a bad person. It means you're actually healthy. That one's huge.
Yeah, a whole lot of us are people pleasers. And that's where connects to less is more, right? And that, mm-hmm. That sometimes means saying no and trusting yourself, like the two together, right? Mm-hmm. That less is more and trusting yourself. Really important.
Yeah. And then Patricia shared patience, which we've talked about, and then observation in all aspects of life. Don't jump to conclusions. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Homeopathy taught me to observe everything in a different way. And observe with compassion too. And go ahead.
I love this one. And I'm so glad that Patricia brought this to you for us to talk about too, because it's something that I definitely have learned to do more through homeopathy on both sides, as a patient and as a practitioner, that that has impacted my ability to navigate things like through therapy too. Like it matters with your emotions, right? Like there's the observing what's actually happening and not making judgments about it, whether it's you doing something or somebody else doing something, not putting your thing on it. That can be so important when we're dealing with interactions and relationships with other people, with how we feel about the world. I was just talking to my mom about this thing that happened when I was young, and we used to go vacationing in South Carolina. And there was one time we went like every year, one time there was bumper stickers put on a bunch of cars that said Yankee Horde, go home. And we noticed, or it seemed at the place where it happened, it was only on like people from Ohio. And my parents made some assumptions and like leapt to some conclusions about what that could possibly mean, or why it would have been put there. We were talking about it today randomly. And I even said to my mom, I was like, Mom, we don't know that that's why they did that. Like, we just know that there was a bumper sticker that said Yankee Horde, go home, put on our car and several other cars in the same parking lot. That's all we know. We didn't talk to the person who put it there. We don't know what it was, why it was put there. That's just making an assumption. The same thing is true. Like, you know, when you're talking about just having empathy for people around you, you don't know what somebody's experiencing. You can see what is happening in front of you. If you have a child, like how many of you have been through it where your child is having a meltdown in a public place And people are your maybe even your family or close friends are looking at you and saying you need to be stricter, you need to discipline your child better, you need to whatever. But we don't know what's happening if we are, all we can do is see what we observe. We don't know what's happening behind things without jumping to a conclusion or making a judgment. And the same thing is true about our own feelings sometimes, that we have to question whether, like, we can feel something and then it, in our brain, it turns into fact. And then we treat people as if the feeling we're having is fact. And so that this is a really, really huge thing. And so I always tell people, like, when you're observing with symptoms, it's most useful if you can, if it would be, could it stand up in a court of law that this is what actually is going on? And that's so, so relevant to so many different things. And we would probably all do a whole lot better if we stopped making assumptions about what other people are thinking or feeling, or treating our feelings as if they are facts and then treating people as if the feeling we are having is a fact. Yeah.
You said something a second ago that triggered me to think about one of my own, which I'm going to stick in here in Patricia's, is empathy, like a completely different level of empathy for humans in general, especially humans dealing with any mental health, any, like, even the example that you gave. There wasn't a ton of judgment before PANS, but PANS has just taught me, like we never, ever, ever know what anyone is going through. We never know what a parent is going through. We never know what a child is going through. And I think my girls get frustrated with me sometime because I'm trying to teach them this without them having the life experiences. And having just this really, really deep sense of empathy and understanding for anyone that's struggling, and giving grace behind that, and just, like, radical acceptance and grace, because we don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm off on a tangent. I am so glad I ask other people this question, because this is one of the biggest ones for me, and I would not have thought of it. Rethinking health and healthcare. That's so huge. The way that I look at my family's health, my own health, and my ability to impact it, my ability to do something different, is completely and totally different than before we started homeopathy. It's wildly different after the unlearning and relearning process that we went through.
Yeah.
And then less is more.
Yeah.
Because I think we all learn less is more. And then mine is really that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Because had you asked me in 2016, if I could completely heal Avery of what was going on with her with some sugar pellets, I would have laughed at you. And so I swear that, like, our minds are in this, like, box, and it's okay. It's just the things that we know and that we've been taught. And that box limits us. And I think that if, in many aspects of life, if we can allow ourselves to think outside of it and potentially learn something new and different than what we know to be true, that things are limitless. And I also, I'm a huge, huge, huge mindset person. And I thought this before, but I feel like even more, your mindset is so important in any and everything that you do in life. And how you move through it, how it works or doesn't work. My mindset when I came into homeopathy, even though I was a homeopathy skeptic, I didn't necessarily believe in it. For some reason, I believed that it would heal Avery's body. And I believed that the whole way through. And I think that's what kept us going. And I think for all of us, our mindset is so, so important. And then homeopathy just, or taking Avery through the healing journey, just affirmed that feeling that my mindset and my belief in her body to heal was, it was important, because I would have quit 100 times. Mm-hmm. And that also branches into all different aspects of life, because mm-hmm. our mindset matters. What we look for matters. What we focus on matters. What we tell ourselves, Matt, like all of that is super, super important.
And I'm going to add to that, that we can borrow from each other. So we don't want to borrow trouble, but we do want to borrow confidence, and we do want to borrow mindset and things like that when we're struggling. And the reality is, Jody, that like there were times when we were working together that your mindset took a big hit and you had to lean on me. And there were a couple times that I had to lean on you that you weren't maybe aware of at the time, because I was pretty good at just like keeping it professional. But there were times that I was just like, well, she believes I can do this, so I can do it. and it worked, and we got ourselves back on track. And you know, it's happened. It's happened beyond just our own healing. It's happened like with things that we said that we could, we thought, okay, well, maybe we can do this to help the community as a whole. And we just keep leaning on each other. And I've seen it happen again and again with throughout the community, and like leaning on strangers sometimes. If you're taking a hit, just knowing that you can lean on somebody else and borrow their confidence, borrow their success, borrow their optimism, and that know that somebody can also borrow it from you, and coming back to share when you're in a better place.
Yeah. This is one I hope that we have a whole lot of conversation in the group about afterwards, or even folks emailing us that are watching on different platforms. Like, cause I want to hear from everyone else what their little tidbits are, because I know there's even way more that we haven't even covered today.
Well, that's the perfect place to end, and is with like, I'm going to put it out there. Let's see, send us, we want to hear from you. You got all the ways to contact us that are in our show notes. We want to hear from you what life lessons you've had from homeopathy or life lessons from Pans and Pandas. And I'm hoping that we get enough that we can have a whole other episode with even more life lessons from homeopathy and Pans and Pandas. So that, here's your call. Send us your life lessons. Send us by email, Facebook group, whatever works best for you. Hopefully we'll hear from a lot of you guys, because like I said, I would love to have another one of these episodes.
Yeah,
this was more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. This is all good stuff though. This is, and I love it too, because I know that there's so many families that are struggling.
Yeah.
So I love that they get the opportunity to listen to this. And I know sometimes hearing the good, shiny, pretty stuff, you know, at the end is hard, but it's really all things that everyone has to look forward to, and borrowing that hope and borrowing that, that confidence that, you know, you'll get through to all of those things. So I think it's a great thing for everybody.
I wouldn't even call these like shiny things at the end. These are the things that help you get through.
Yeah.
Like these are little glimmers that can help you get through even in the harder times when things feel really hard. That's what I need to remember. I am trying to control something I can't control, and less is more, and slow is smooth and smooth is fast, and stop borrowing trouble and like trust yourself. All of those things are reminders I need, not at the end. It's not like it's like in the messy middle.
Yeah.
You need those. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully this gives you something to think about moving forward. And as we wrap up this year, I hope that your family has the best holiday season and new year that is available to you right now. And I hope that next year is even better. And we are here for you to support you as you need. We would love to connect with you again, to hear all of your life lessons, and just to connect with you in general. So hopefully we'll hear more from you guys or see you in the Facebook group. Until after the new year, take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care, and remember, this won't be forever.